Well, warm welcome to you all this Sunday morning. Welcome here to Gillingham Baptist Church. It's good to have you with us. Glad that you're able to be with us this this morning. It's a lovely opportunity just for us to be here together, to hear from God, to receive from Him and respond to Him as well. Welcome to those of you who are watching online. We know a number of you access our services that way, and we just pray God's blessing upon you as we meet together. We've got communion this morning. We're sharing bread and wine. That will be together. We'll do that in the first part of the service. With it being September, second Sunday, Children's Church starts back this morning as well. I'll explain more about that a little bit later in the service, but there will be age-appropriate things for the children after communion, after one or two other elements as well. So it's good that we can be together, and a lovely opportunity to be here. Karen is leading our worship. She's having a quick drink of water, so I've caught her off guard. Have you wet your whistle? You have. Right. I'll hand over to Karen. Thank you.
Oh, it's lovely to see you, everybody. We haven't been in church for a while because we've been on holiday. We've had a lovely time. Thank you very much. We went to New Wine as a Christian worship place, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that to you later. But we are going to do a bit of singing, but first I'm going to read some scripture to you. And it says, Our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger, which is the man that you are. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you create care for him? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm asking the children to sing. If you can, that would be wonderful as well with all of us. I have chosen some songs that are quite reflective songs, but I really would love it if you could kind of join in as well with us. And I'm going to do a little children's talk in a little bit. So if you'd like to stand, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to start worshiping. If you're able. We've made it, Lord. We're here. There was a lot of stuff happening on our way. You know what's in our hearts and minds. You know how we're feeling. Yes. And we really want to enter in. We don't want to muck about this morning, Lord. We've had busy weeks. We've been doing lots of things. So we ask that you would help us to refocus on what it is about, Lord, this morning. We declare that you are good. We declare that you're kind, compassionate, full of mercy. We declare that you say that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And so we ask this morning that you would help us to move away all the toot that's getting in the way so that we could draw near to you this morning. We really do want to take you seriously and our faith seriously this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, as the people who's placed their hope and confidence in Jesus. He won't forsake them. Blessed are those who seek his face, who bend the knee and fix their gaze on Jesus. They won't be shaken. So come on and praise the Lord with me. See if you love his name. Come on and lift your voice with me. He's worthy of all our prayer. Blessed are those who walk with him, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage with Jesus. They'll see his glory. Blessed are those who die with him, whose joy it is to give it all for Jesus. And for him only, for Jesus, oh Jesus, oh for your
I
It's really good just to rest here with you. We thank you that this is a day of rest. And we can enter into your rest. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Revive our souls. We ask in your precious name. Amen. Hello. It's me again. Sorry about that. That's twice in a few seconds. Okay. Oh, there you are. Oh, look at you. I don't get to see all of you up there. That's great to see you. That's lovely. Okay. So in a minute, I'm going to borrow some people, some youngsters, but I'm going to tell you a little story about, well, not a story, but a true thing. Last week, lovely pastor was talking about how sometimes it's tricky to work with young people. And I'm going to talk about the fact that there was this young guy called Morgan. When I was at New Wine, I was on a training thing, and it was about Alpha and how we could support Gen Zs. We're into the Gen Z generation, so the Gen Zs or whatever. I'm not quite sure how the age range goes there now. I think it's up to about 11-year-olds up to 20-something or other now. But anyway, so how to support them. And one of the testimonies was by a 14-year-old boy called Morgan, who was amazing. And he totally and utterly inspired me. He was amazing. He actually wanted to do Alpha in his school. So what he did was he kind of advertised amongst the year 7s, 8s and 9s. He was a year 8 at the time. And he got these all these youngsters to come. Now, how he did it was he said, he kind of like did a little bit of a kind of wheely-dealy thing with his church. And he said, if you come to all 6 episodes of Alpha, we'll take you to the trampolining centre as a reward. So it was a little bit of bribery going on there. And I thought, wow, he's amazing. And he then said, but I felt like there wasn't any follow-up to it. I wanted them to feel like there was something tangible, something concrete that they could have. So he had a little business on the side. His little business was 3D printing. And he made this 3D printed Bible. Can you see it? It's very tiny. And Kelly, could you open it up? It's a bit tricky, but you have to kind of slide it out. It doesn't open like a Bible, so you can read it. What's inside there, Kelly? Can you open it? Yes. What's inside there? A QR code. So then he did a really clever thing with his church. He got a QR code inside there. Can you see that QR code, everybody? Yeah? QR code. And what he did was he made a link so that if anybody was feeling any emotion whatsoever, he found all the Bible scriptures that went with that emotion and he linked it so that his friends, if they were feeling down or happy or sad, they could just go on the QR code and find out what God had got to say for that thing on how they could really feel close to God. That's pretty cool, isn't it? What do you think? I thought that was really cool. So it inspired me and I thought, what am I doing? What am I doing? How can I do something like that? Because I was so inspired. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a play therapist. That's one of my jobs, is to work with children who've got lots of trauma. And so I know loads of other play therapists. And they have sets of miniatures. We call them miniatures, but they're all like mini worlds of everything. So we've got Superman, Spider-Man, you name it, we've got it. You name it. Well, most of the things we've got. I've even got Sketch, who's a new character. I've got the model of Sketch, a new character. And the movie hasn't even come out yet. It's not out until October the 24th. I think I'm so cool to have that little miniature. Anyway, so we've got all these miniatures. And I'm noticing that a lot of my play therapist friends, they have these miniatures, but they have Buddha and Vishnu, and they've got the god with the the elephant nose. They have a lot of spiritual things, but they don't have Jesus. They didn't have any Jesuses in their sets. And I thought, that's not right. So I was praying, what can I do that's like Morgan and do what he did and be inspired? So I got Morgan to print off 50... Jesus is for me. White. They're white with this bottom. So I've had to paint this. I painted it yesterday because they've only just arrived. So, 50 Jesuses, with a kind of like with his 3D printer. Because he got a better one once he got sponsored, once he started kind of getting good at doing things. So, yes. So I've made 50 of these and I'm going to give them to all my play therapist friends to add to their collection, because I don't want Jesus to be missing from
their spiritual experience, of children's spiritual experience. Why not have, you know, they might put Buddha in there, but I think it'd be better to put Jesus in there, don't you? So I thought that was a kind of a little evangelistic thing that I could do, and I was inspired by wonderful Morgan. Now, I need, yes? How many? 90? 90 children came to Alpha. I think 60 children completed it. That's pretty cool, don't you think? 60 youngsters, mainly year 7s and 8s, completed Alpha, and they never really heard the gospel before in their whole lives. So that was pretty cool. I mean, how cool is he? So the reality is, I do need to borrow 10 people, 10 young people. Can you come up, please? 10. I need 10. So it could be any age, but you've got to be under the age of 18, maybe. That would be useful. Please, quickly, I need your help. It's a real emergency, because we've lost some Jesuses and we need to find them. They're around about somewhere. Yes, it's in search of Jesus. Oh, don't cry. You can come. Daddy can bring you. And you can do it together. How many got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We need 4 more. 7. 8, 2 more, 9, 10, that's it. No, we have to cut your, sorry, yeah, I'll have to go back. So we only need 10. Lizzie, no, you can all come. Right, it's mainly girls. Oh, no, there's some boys there. All right, that's good. Okay, so now, there are 10 very small, not big like that, not big Jesuses like that, but small Jesuses hidden around the church. The church, you're going to have to help them now. 10 small Jesuses hidden around the church downstairs. Off you go, go and find them. Where are they? Oh, one's been found. Okay. Come back if you found one. They may be under the chairs. You never know. I've hidden them in strange places. Have you found one? Come back if you found one. Come back if you found one. Well done, you. Very good, Daniel. Very good. Well done, you. You found one. Excellent-y. Anybody else? Any more? All 10 of you should be able to find one. Where are they? Oh, come on. It's right next to your hand. You're very warm, Colin. Colin, you're so hot. Oh, you're really hot. Come on. You can find it. Hot, 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 hot. Boiling. Come on. Next step. Come on. You can do it. Boiling. No, you're still hot. Come on, guys. Oh. Yay! Woohoo! Found it. Right, have we got 10? Or is there still some missing? Look under your chairs, please, everybody. Look under the chairs. I've hidden them very sneakily round the back bit. Have you found one? Have you got one, Laurie? Ah, there it is. You found it. Is everybody? I kind of spoilt the plot there, didn't I? Yes. Oh, okay. Okay, give it to that gentleman there, because then it will add to my collection of plot. So come back. So who's missing? We haven't got 10 people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So where's, is he gone? Where's he gone? He's gone out. Okay, I'm going to borrow this little gentleman here. Yes, come up with your mum. That would be wonderful. Who's the one that's got 2? Who's got 2? Okay, when you have Jesus in your life, guess what you have to do if you have too much? You gotta give him away. You've got to give him away. You've got to share so you can have that Jesus. So you can share. If you have lots of Jesus in your life, then you can share and give Jesus away. You can have those Jesuses. Thank you very much for your help. Can you give him a clap? Woo. Excellent. I think we've finished. I don't know if I'm singing again, are we? Are we singing again?
Yeah. Song them.
How could you, as we sing this song, I want you to think, how could you be like Morgan? And
think of something, not necessarily do 3D printing, but do something that would really share Jesus in your life with others. Let's stand and sing, if you're able.
Jesus, be the center.
Thank you, Karen. Ooh, it's loud. We come to this table, and it's a reminder of all that God has done for us in Jesus. We know that God loves the world, that God loves all that he has created. We know that God loves each one of us, and that that is rooted and established in the fact that Jesus came into this world and died on the cross for us. So here we have that reminder, that demonstration, that illustration of how much God loves each one of us. And this morning, as you are sitting here, you'll have different thoughts tumbling through your minds. Some of you might be bowed down with worries about different things. Some of you may be thinking of work tomorrow or whatever it may be. But as we come to this bread and wine, we can pause, we can focus, we can concentrate on him, and we can receive from him as well. So as we prepare ourselves now, let's just come in that state of readiness and that openness to receive from him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us in Jesus. We thank you for that incredible sacrifice of love that we see on the cross. And Father, our finite minds just fail to comprehend the momentous and significant effect of that day. We so struggle to be able to appreciate all that Jesus did for us. But Lord, in this moment now, as we receive bread and wine, as we take Jesus afresh into our lives, Lord, may your Holy Spirit touch us. May you expand our minds, our thinking, our comprehension, so that we can take in all that Jesus has done for us. May we feel it in our hearts. May we know his love deep within us. Father, come and minister to us, we pray. Forgive us for those things that we have done that were wrong. Forgive us for those things that we have said in haste. Forgive us for those things that have hurt others. And Lord, renew us by your Holy Spirit. Come to us now, we pray. Minister to us your grace and your mercy. And may we take Jesus into our hearts afresh, we pray. For we ask it in his holy and precious name. Amen. Would those who are serving at communion like to come and join me, please? The Apostle Paul tells us, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night on which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We will eat the bread as we receive it. It's our own opportunity to respond to all that he has done for each one of us. It's an opportunity for each of us to say yes to Jesus as we take the bread into our hearts. In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We will retain the cups, and then when everyone has been served, then we will drink together as one people in Jesus Christ. And we'll remain seated and, yes, we will. Yes.
In the darkness, we will wait with our Lord.
Blood of Christ was shed for us. Let's drink this with thanksgiving. Oops, sorry. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. May he dwell in our hearts. May he strengthen us for service. May he empower us to live Christ-like lives, we pray. We pray this morning for those of our number who can't be with us. We think of those who are frail and old, in their own homes or in nursing homes. Lord, smile upon them, we pray. Reward and bless them for their years of faithful service. And may you never leave them and may you never forsake them. We pray for those who are ill and need your healing hand. We pray for Liz Clark, who's got her surgery date finally for this Thursday, and we commend Liz to you. Keep her peaceful, keep her well in these days leading up to Thursday. And Father, may you be with those who are working with her on that particular day. Father, bring healing and wholeness into her life. We think of Richard Hayton, who's just started a new course of treatment for his cancer. And we just commend Richard to you and pray that that would work well in his body. We think of Trevor Purser, who's at home still struggling with his own treatment, and we pray your blessing on Trevor. We think of Ken Davey, who's had a fall, a serious fall overnight, and we commend Ken and the family to you. Lord, strengthen him and help him to recover quickly and return home speedily, we pray. And we think of Stephen Harper, who's far from well and who has asked for prayer this morning, and we commend Stephen to you and pray that your angels would surround him and help him and Claire in their own struggles and their own difficulties. We commend them to you. But Lord, there are others on our hearts and minds as well who mean so much to us, who we're concerned about, who we love, and we just commend them to you. Please, Lord, reach out to them, touch them, heal them, help them, we ask and pray. Father, may you be pleased to hear these and all our prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to bring an offering now for the work of the church here. If you're able to make a gift, that is always appreciated. Thank you. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, for these and for all your gifts, may your holy name be praised. Amen. Amen. Now, a little bird tells me that we have some birthdays today. Now, I can't see Sue Will. Oh, there she is. Sue. It is Sue's birthday today. Am I correct? You are. It is your birthday. Pinky, stand, please stand. Sue, please stand. Please stand. Thank you. And it is also, if I understand, it is Awa's birthday today, and she is 2. So I don't know whether Mum and Awa would like to just come here so we can sing happy birthday. Would that be all right? Yes? That would be very nice. Right, so we'll sing happy birthday, dear friends, shall we?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear friends. Happy birthday to you. Whoa.
Marvellous. Thank you very much indeed. Now, we are running very late. However, we just want to very quickly show... where's Mary? Mary, as quick as you can, and then we'll show the video. Okay.
Right. Nearly Christmas time. Shoebox time. To keep it brief. Do I really need that? I'm sure I can shout. I have grandchildren. I'm sure I can shout. Shoeboxes. If you would like to fill a shoebox, you will need to find your shoebox first, because I haven't got time to do that. Please cover your shoebox separately like this. If you can, if you can't, I'll make an exception and I'll do it for you. Please use this red part of the label to put the things in the shoebox first. They're important. And then you can add the rest of the things for whoever you decide which age group you want. And then they need to be here by the last Sunday of October. And that gives you a week to say, I forgot my shoebox, can I bring it next week, please? Okay, so we're going to watch a little video now of where the shoebox, some of the places where the shoebox go. Okay.
Зайшли були русські з того краю до нас сюди. Побили. 8 місяців йшла війна у нас. На жаль, наш мальовничий край був повністю зруйнований. Все, що люди руками будували, створювали, все це було зруйновано. Дуже багато людей, на жаль, загинуло. Однокласників, знайомих, рідних.
So we're here today in Ukraine, in a village that's been devastated by war. The people that we're with came and helped immediately after the houses were destroyed and lives were lost. Now some people have returned and we want to help them to get on with their lives. The shoeboxes are a way of saying, we still care for you. It's a way of our partners saying, you're not forgotten.
Since 1993, together, we have sent over 2.8 million shoeboxes to those most in need across Eastern Europe. This year, can you help us to serve even more?
Меня зовут Славик Пузанов. Я представляю Heritage Ukraine. Сейчас это село Кубанка. Это 15 километров от Одессы. Это небольшое старое село, где проживают семьи с детьми, многодетными, из неблагополучных семей. Да, вот у них нет электричества, дети не ходят в школу, потому что то автобус поломан, то света нету, и нету достаточно финансов, чтобы содержать семью. Этим людям, поэтому и сегодня мы приехали с этими подарками сюда порадовать детей с Рождеством.
Вау, что у тебя? Нравится? Да. Как было?
Все, посмотрел.
А у тебя что там? Будешь? Нравится вот это?
Атакулова.
Атакулова. А это трусик.
Никто из них не знал, поэтому многие были в шоке. Это была такая неожиданность, светлая улыбка, радость на то, что вот так нетяно пришли такие ангелы и подарили такие подарки.
A shoebox contains practical items. Like warm clothing and toiletries. As well as gifts. But what a shoebox is a symbol of love. A reminder to those in need that they are not forgotten. To take part, simply choose the age and gender of your recipient. And using the Blythewood checklist for guidance, fill the shoebox with practical and fun items. These lovingly given items will change lives for good. And inside every box is the gospel message, in the form of a Bible story, Bible verses, or the story of someone whose life was transformed by Jesus, which we pray will change lives forever. To receive a gift at Christmas is a wonderful thing. But to receive hope, that is life-changing. Help us to change lives for good and forever this Christmas by giving the gift of a shoebox.
Wow! God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you for the much.
Lovely to see those smiles on children's faces, isn't it? That's what we hope to do. If you're able to make a full box yourselves, that's great. If you're just able to bring some items, then work with somebody else to create a box too. That would be great. Now, the children are going to go to their own classes. Now, just to say that the Julia's class, Jam Busters downstairs, is going to be reception year one, year two and year three, year one, year two and year three with Julia downstairs, years four, five and six with Deborah in the upper room, and junior Bible class at the end of the corridor here with Ruth and Leon, and then the Bible class downstairs with Simon, and if he's here, with Steve as well. Thank you. Let's just bow our heads in prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you for those pictures, those scenes there of smiling children in very difficult situations. And we just commend to you the work of Blytheswood. We thank you for all that they do to brighten up not just people's Christmas, but to bring joy and bring hope into people's lives. And for all those who receive those boxes, we just pray your blessing into their lives and into their communities. We pray, Lord, for those who are working behind the scenes to make all this happen, and may you encourage them in all that they do. Father, we think of some of these countries which are war-torn, which are impoverished. We think, Father, of so many who just live very basic existence, and we pray, Lord, that you'd help them, help their communities. May there be employment, may there be prosperity come to these towns, these villages, these countries. And Father, for those places which are afflicted by war and conflict, and we think particularly there of Ukraine, and we think of Gaza as well, Lord, we just commend to you these situations that just seem to go on and on and on, that there doesn't seem to be any end in sight. And we just pray, Lord, for your help, for your intervention. We pray for miracles. We pray for good news and encouragements. Father, be at work in these places, we pray. Where there is strife, may there be peace. But Lord, may there be justice as well. And we thank you that when Jesus lived, he championed justice. That which is right, that which is good. And we commend to you all those who are working for justice in our world today. Strengthen their arms, strengthen their efforts, we pray, and reward them for their faithful service, we ask. And Father, we just pray that in this world of ours, which is so afflicted by violence, with shootings and bombings and killings and all manner of things, Lord, can this world change? Can you bring peace into our world, Lord, we ask? Can you bring that transformed way of thinking and acting and behaving? Can this human species of ours, this human race, Lord, learn new ways of living and being? Father, please work to that end, we pray. Change the thinking of human beings. Change the way that we are wired so that we can work for peace and goodness. Father, bring change to our world, we ask and pray. And may we see it with our eyes and witness it with our eyes. Father, these are things that seem impossible. But Lord, you are the God of the impossible. And we pray that we'd see wars end, violence cease, and peace, goodness and justice triumph and reign. Lord, bring it about. Bring it about, O Lord, we ask and pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Karen.
really hard to end that song. Have a seat, please.
Thank you very much, Karen. We have a Bible reading, and it's from Genesis chapter 1. We're going to be starting it at verse 26 and finishing it at verse 31. And this is what it says. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Can we have the first slide, Penny? That would be good. One of the most famous paintings in the world is by Michelangelo. It's called The Creation of Adam, and it ordains the... adorns... Yeah. Ordains wouldn't be quite right. It actually looks like ordains, but anyway, it's adorns. The ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in Rome, painted by Michelangelo between 1508 and 1512. If you ever go to the Sistine Chapel and try to see it, you'll have a job, because there's so many people packed in there that they sort of push you along very, very quickly. The one time we were there, it was a bit of an effort. But the painting, the full painting, it's spectacular in its scale. But Michelangelo portrays God as an old man with a beard. And he's reaching down, and there is Adam, this human form, reaching up to him. And the moment of connection or near connection between the two is this iconic picture that we have in front of us, where the hand of God, as it were, touches the hand of man, and that spark of life is transmitted from the one to the other. The story of creation is mapped out in Genesis chapter 1. And maybe if I'm brave one day, I'll have a stab at the whole of that chapter. But what I want to look at this morning is just one very brief little verse, one phrase really that occurs there. And it's in verse 26 and verse 27. Again, I think we've got a slide with that on. No, that's not it. There we go. Thank you. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." That's verse 26 and verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. You can keep that there for a while, Penny, thank you. If we set it in context, it's quite clever really how the writer of Genesis, hundreds of years before Jesus, reveals insights that today science understands as well, that the universe was made first, then in this world, plant life, animal life, and then at the end of this process, human life as well. And it reminds us that there are inherent connections between us as human beings and the animal life that came before us and that we share in common with. We all have the similar features, the need for breath, the need for food, the need for warmth, the need for shelter, the reproduction and all those things. We as human beings share so many features of the rest of the animal world as well. We share those features of the animal world. But what the writer to the Genesis very skillfully then goes on to say is that although we share many of those characteristics, we are yet distinct from and different from and set apart from the rest of creation as well. We have a unique feature which is not possessed by all those other creatures as well, and that is that we are made in the image of God. Yes, we share these features with all other things, but there is this thing that sets us apart from everyone else, and that is that we are made in the image of God. What does that actually mean? Well, so many of the Bible commentators over the centuries have scratched their heads and struggled to come up with a definitive answer of what does it mean for you and me to be made in the image of God. Some say it's because we are rational creatures, we are able to reason. Some say it's because we are moral creatures, we are able to choose. We can decide to say no as well as to say yes. That isn't necessarily something that other creatures possess. Is it to do with the fact that we are co-creators? God is creator, but he endowed us with the responsibility to also go and create as well. Is that a unique feature? Is that what being made in the image of God is about? Or is it to do with this thing about the capacity for relationships, that we can relate with one another, but we can also have a relationship with God? And I suspect that's what Michelangelo is partly trying to convey in that picture of those connecting fingers there, this relationship that exists between creator and created, between us and God. These are all possibilities. These are all possible reasons why these are possible things that are included in this notion that we are made in the image of God, the imago Dei, as it's often referred to. The word image in the Greek, in the Septuagint version of the Old Testament, is icon. Icon. We are icons of God. We are icons of God, which is a fascinating idea. Something in us, something innate and inherent in human beings, is connected to the Creator. We bear his stamp, we bear his image, we bear his likeness. We are his icon in some way, shape, or form. But what I really want to touch on this morning, as we think about this idea of as made in the image of God, setting aside all the things that it might possibly involve, it seems to me that what it is also conveying is something about the inherent worth of every human being. The inherent value, the inherent importance, the inherent preciousness of human life. So often as evangelicals, our go-to place in the book of Genesis is Genesis chapter 3, which describes the woeful and terrible and disastrous fall of man and the all the repercussions that that has for everyone and everything that came after it. But before the fall of man, there was the creation of man. And as evangelicals, we're not always good at recognizing that and appreciating that. Sometimes we seem to think that it all happened in Genesis 3, but it didn't. There's Genesis 1 and there's Genesis 2 that comes before it, which is the story of you and me being made in the image of God. And the thing I want to emphasize this morning is that even though the fall of man happens in chapter 3, that in no way erases God's original verdict on humankind. It does not change our status. It does not change God's opinion of us. We are still made in the image of God even after the fall. We still possess those unique characteristics of the Maker even after the fall. The fall didn't wipe all that out. It didn't destroy that. It didn't change our status at all. That verdict remains the same. However blighted by sin we may be, however far short of God's glory we may be, we are still made in the image of God. We are still valuable, we are still precious, we are still important, we are still special, loved and cherished. That verdict does not change, and our status does not change. A number of years ago, the Baptist Union had a stab at creating a new denominational hymn book. There had been the famous Green Baptist hymn book of 1963, which many of you were brought up with. But then in 1991, the BU decided that they would create a new hymn book, and it was called Baptist Praise and Worship. And this is it. I actually discovered this week the inside cover says Pear Tree Road Baptist Church, Derby, minister's copy. I've stolen it. But I don't think my successor at Pear Tree is probably going to miss it, because it isn't a book that really caught on. It never really got going. They tried to do some hymns that they took words to old hymns and tried to put new words into them, and that was a disaster. Nobody bothers singing Great Is Your Faithfulness when you can still sing Great Is Thy Faithfulness, etc. But there was also some new hymns in here, and some by Baptist ministers, and there was one by Keith Clements, who I think died quite recently. He was born in 1943. And it was called Father of Glory, Whose Heavenly Plan. And I think we've got we've got three verses of this hymn. Let me just read them out to you, and then I'll just comment on them. So, verse 1, Father of Glory, whose heavenly plan was wholly made flesh in the life of a man. Your image of splendor we see in the face of every known child of the whole human race. And if that is not profound, I don't know what is. Darkest to lightest, created as one, all made for each other, set free by your Son. No language or color can hinder your care. The failures and pains of the whole world you bear. And then verse 3, barriers, divisions no longer we see. In Christ are no colors, no slaves now nor free. No outcasts, no favorites, no Gentile, no Jew, but one human family united in you. And I love that hymn. It goes to the tune of Be Thou My Vision, interestingly, and it works quite well. But it's trying to reinforce this idea of the dignity of human beings, the specialness of human beings, the preciousness of life. That's what's conveyed in this idea of made in the image of God, the preciousness of life. Your image of splendor we see in the face of every known child of the whole human race. That is the application of this idea. That every child matters, every person matters on the globe. And there's this whole democratization of this idea as well. No outcasts, no favorites, no Gentile, no Jew, but one human family united in you. Every person matters. Every person is precious because every person is made in the image of God. There are no distinctions. You cannot point to me, to a human being. You cannot point to me, to any one person or any group of people who are not made in the image of God. You cannot do it because we are all made in the image of God. And the fundamental error, and I've said this before, the fundamental error repeated over and over again throughout history is this idea that somehow some people are less important than other people. That some lives matter less than others and therefore are expendable. Christian anthropology, biblical anthropology, maintains that every life matters. That there should be no outcasts, there should be no favourites. Every person carries with them the stamp of the Creator. And to denigrate one group of people, to devalue one group of people, to scapegoat one group of people, is to offend the Creator who has designed all people to be made in the image of God. God does not differentiate. He values all life, he values every person. And therefore so should we. And if I can put it as starkly as possible, and I think this next slide perhaps says it very eloquently, I believe there is only one race, the human race. And that was Rosa Parks who said that many years ago back in the United States of America. Only one race that matters, the human race. And if only we could all learn that lesson. If only this human race, this human species could learn that lesson. Because we see making the same mistakes over and over again. We've seen it throughout the 20th century. We're seeing it in the 21st century. Where certain groups of people, certain people groups are somehow despised and belittled and marginalized and seem to be unimportant and seem to be expendable as if they do not matter, but they do matter. And it does not matter whether you are a PhD in nuclear physics or whether you have not got a GCSE to your name. It doesn't matter what country you are from, it doesn't matter what race you are from, it does not matter what language you speak. We are all made in the image of God, and therefore we all matter. And if anybody wants to say differently, then I'm sorry, you're wrong. But it's open for discussion. But let me end with one other thing this morning as well. How do you think about yourself? What do you think about yourself? Many of us consider ourselves failures. Many of us are disappointed with ourselves. Many of us beat ourselves up because we don't think we've done much. We've made mistakes, we've gone wrong. Many of us have a very dim view of ourselves and are constantly reminding of ourselves of those things that we're not very good at. How does God see you? How does God see you? Well, I'll tell you how God sees you. You open your ears. You are made in the image of God. You are valuable. You are precious. You are loved and esteemed by the holiest creator of all. And even when you feel at your lowest, and even when you feel at your crummiest, and even when you feel absolutely rubbish, guess what? God says you are precious. God says you are valuable. And God says you are my child and you are made in my likeness and you carry my likeness and you carry my characteristics and you are mine. In that chapter 1 of Genesis, we have this refrain. It comes throughout the chapter. God looks at all that he makes at every stage of the process and he says, it's good. It's good. Yeah, it's good. Happy with that. Yeah, it's good. Until he gets to mankind, until he gets to humankind, and then he makes God, it makes human beings in his own likeness, in his own image, and he stands back and he looks and says, ah, it's very good. You are very good. And when God looks at you, he looks not at your faults and failings. When God looks at you, he looks not at those things that you are ashamed of. But when God looks at you, he sees his own image reflected back. And he says, it is very good. So this morning, if you are inclined to be downing on yourself, if you are inclined to be dismissing yourself, just remember that you are made in the image of God. You carry his likeness. You are loved, precious, and valuable. And don't let anybody tell you different. We're going to listen to... we can't do it. No, that doesn't matter. That's okay. Let's just be quiet for a moment and then we might have a go at singing that song, Karen. Yeah? Okay. Let's just be quiet for a minute. Lord, thank you for who we are. Thank you for this status that you give to us. We bless you. We praise you. Help us to feel your smile fixed towards us. Help us to sense your affirmation. Help us to feel 10 feet tall as we go from here today. Encourage us and bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So the video we were going to try and show was that, you remember that thing, the blessing, it was done a few years ago, and we were going to do a 2025 update of that. It wasn't there, but we're going to try and sing it anyway. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, etc., etc. If we can sing it, we will. We haven't got any words on the screen, but we'll stand, and when we've had enough, we'll stop. Thank you. Thank you for being here this Sunday morning. There is tea and coffee downstairs. There is prayer ministry here if you'd value prayer for anything. There will be a retiring offering this morning for the church family fund, a way of supporting those within the fellowship who have particular needs. If you're able to make a gift, that's appreciated. Helen is hovering, and that's because... Yes, that's what I was going to say. Yes. I was simply going to say that. Yeah. Helen is hovering over there because she will be meeting anybody who's a fire marshal or a door steward or whatever to take you through the thing if you haven't done it already. So that's it. Yes, thank you. That's very good. She'll be in the conversation area there. Shoeboxes, yes, work on those if you're able to. Alpha starts not this Monday, the Monday after. Church members meeting a week on Tuesday on the 23rd. It'll be on Zoom, but in person. We like it if people come down into the building. That is very nice. There is a shed load of things on the new sheet, which I'm not going to mention, but it includes Macmillan Coffee Mornings, something at Sittingbourne Baptist Church this Saturday, Beach Days, Harvest. And there are also more free books downstairs. Take as many of them as you want because they need to go to good homes. And if you like the sound of any of them, take them and bless you as you do. Let's pray. Father, bless these wonderful people as they go from this place. Fill them with your love, joy, and peace. Go with them into this week, into their workplaces, their homes, their schools and colleges, wherever they go. Help them to be salt and light, we ask and pray. Help us, bless us, and all those who we love and care for. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. Thank you.